crossroads of empires, battleground of the ages, city of peace and of war. This is Jerusalem, where archaeology uncovers the empires of yesterday, where prophecy decodes the headlines of today. This is where history and prophecy come alive. This is Watch Jerusalem.
Hello and welcome to Watch Jerusalem. I'm your host, Brent Nachtigall. We're not coming to you today from Jerusalem because I am in the United Kingdom, but we're still going to talk lots about the Middle East and a lot about Jerusalem. I apologize for my voice. I'm a little bit stuffy, a little bit under the weather. Nevertheless, we've got plenty to talk about today. And the top story we're going to discuss has slipped a bit of the news wire because of what's been happening inside Syria. And you can go to Watch Jerusalem for a commentary on that, particularly how the United States moves have received vocal support from Europe. It's interesting, up until this attack, Trump has been seen as the enemy by many Europeans. And yet when Trump does something acting in the strategic interest of Europeans, and of course, out of the welfare for the Syrians as well, well, we have Europeans coming out and praising him. And this is something that we are watching for, not necessarily praise of Mr. Trump, but praise of Mr. Trump when he is acting inside Syria to reduce the Iranian support for the Syrian regime. Europe has an invested interest to take care of or to be in control of events inside Syria. And as you see, the United States perhaps moving with working with Russia sometime in the future, perhaps working with the Europeans sometime in the future as well. And already we're seeing some interest from Europe to at least vocally support what the United States has done in firing the 59 Tomahawk cruise missiles at the Syrian airstrip that was used to launch that chemical attack against the Syrian people. What we've seen is Europe come on board. And what we're, if we're talking about Bible prophecy and events inside Syria, what's going to take place towards the end of this civil war, we fully expect Europe to get more involved. And who knows, maybe this United States action finally, after 6 years of inaction, doing something in Syria, that might get a hold of Europe's attention. And Europe, and especially a German-led Europe, might jump on board to help out. We'll see about that. We're not going to focus on that today in today's show. Again, you can go to watchjerusalem.co.il and see some analysis of that. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty more on the website this upcoming week because this is a situation where we're still waiting to see even what Russia's response is going to be. While they have at first condemned it, the United States did pick up the phone. They did pick up the phone and they told the Russians that they were going to do it before they did it. And the Russians did not intervene in any way. So are they more complicit in this than what they're making out? Anyhow, there's plenty more analysis, like I was saying, this oncoming week about the situation in Syria. We're not going to focus on that, but we are going to stay focused on Russia because just this week, 2 days ago, in fact, on Thursday, Russia became the first nation in the world to recognize any part of Jerusalem as the capital of the Jewish state. Now, they weren't going to say that the Jewish state has a capital of Jerusalem, that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of the Jewish state, a united Jerusalem. They particularly said West Jerusalem. But anyhow, that is more than any other nation has come out and said, that even West Jerusalem does belong to the Jewish state. I'm going to quote a little bit here from a Jerusalem Post article that discusses this, and it's based kind of off a Russian foreign ministry press briefing that they put out, a statement that the foreign ministry brought out, and really people in Israel were surprised by it. They weren't expecting this. And while it is this foreign ministry release, this announcement from Russia does speak in terms of the two-state solution, does speak in terms of upholding even what the UN decided upon late in December, as we've discussed on this program as well. Their decision to include a separate sentence stating that West Jerusalem, that they deem West Jerusalem as the capital of the Jews, or the capital of Israel, is something that cannot go unnoticed. The Russian Foreign Ministry, they are one of the most politically savvy organizations about putting out information, false information. But what you can be sure of is what they write. They fully know the consequences of it. They don't do anything by mistake. Anyhow, let's get to this Jerusalem Post article. It starts out this way. Russia recognizes West Jerusalem as Israel's capital, the Russian Foreign Ministry stated in a surprise announcement on Thursday. It says the announcement comes as U.S. President Donald Trump's administration is agonizing over whether to move its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, a move that would constitute recognizing West Jerusalem as the country's capital. Then it says no other country in the world recognizes any part of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. And up to this point, that has been the case. Yes, we've seen Mr. Trump say, as a pre-election promise, I'm going to move the United States Embassy to Jerusalem. I'm going to show the world that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Well, it seems that the Russians have now beat him to the punch. I'm going to quote a little bit about from this statement issued by the Russian Foreign Ministry. It says this: we reaffirm our commitments to the UN-approved principles for a Palestinian-Israeli settlement, which includes the status of East Jerusalem as the capital of the future Palestinian state. Now, that's where you'd expect this statement to end, on that subject, that we include the status of East Jerusalem as the capital of the future Palestinian state. That's what all previous Russian statements on the issue have said, as well as European statements on the issue. And yet they add this sentence. Quote, at the same time, we must state that in this context, we view West Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Now, as this Jerusalem Post article brings out, it says here that this is a sharp shift in Russian policy, which until now has formally held that Jerusalem should eventually be under a permanent international regime. That's what they've said, that Jerusalem is going to be negotiated separately, as opposed to this separate state for the Palestinians in the West Bank. I mean, the peace deal going back to Oslo, or those the structure of the Oslo Accords, did say that there was going to be probably two states for two peoples, and that there was also going to be the issue of Jerusalem that had to be decided. And the issue of Jerusalem hadn't been decided up until December, when that resolution was passed by the UN Security Council, and that was not vetoed by the Obama administration, which now opened the door for East Jerusalem not to be negotiated in the future by an international presence or an international regime, perhaps stationed in Jerusalem as a united capital of both Israel and the Palestinians, governed by a foreign body. This was still all up in the air until December. And now the Russians are playing along with that and saying that West Jerusalem does belong to Israel. East Jerusalem belongs to the Palestinian state. J Post continues, while officials in Jerusalem interpreted this to mean that recognition of West Jerusalem as Israel's capital will only come at once East Jerusalem becomes the capital of a Palestinian state, the Jerusalem Post has learned that Moscow intends for this recognition to go into effect immediately. So this is interesting, because every other news source out there have only got the Russian Foreign Ministry their statement, which basically says that in the event that a Palestinian state is established, East Jerusalem will be its capital, and naturally West Jerusalem will be the capital of Israel. Well, the Jerusalem Post says they know on good authority that Moscow doesn't necessarily intend only to act in the event of a final peace deal, that they intend to act immediately, that they want to recognize the Israeli state capital being West Jerusalem immediately. Now, there isn't any intention right now of moving the Russian embassy to Jerusalem, although that might change Russia's ambassador to Israel, Alexander Shein. He is going to meet with the foreign ministry officials in Israel in the coming days to discuss what Moscow actually meant by this decision and what the potential ramifications are. They're going to meet this week to discuss what those ramifications are. So we won't have too long to wait before we really see how Russia is going to move with establishing West Jerusalem, at least it's in its eyes, as the capital of the Jewish state. The Prime Minister's office and the Foreign Ministry, they didn't have too much to say immediately about this statement, but the Foreign Ministry did say that they are studying the statement of Russia. Now, as the Jerusalem Post brings out, it says, though this would be the first recognition by any country of any part of recognition by any country of any part of Jerusalem as Israel's capital, Israel may be wary of applauding such a move, since it annexed all of Jerusalem in 1980 and deems the entire city, not just the western half, as its capital. Now, I think that's a really important statement by the Jerusalem Post here, because it talks about while there might be some celebration that Russia is saying Jerusalem is part of the Israeli state, it's the capital of Israel, they are just saying West Jerusalem. So for those in Israel that might rejoice at this and that want Israel as Jerusalem as the united capital of Israel, those two things can't go together. It might seem that this is a great win for Israel, but in reality, it is a sign that the world community is moving forward with two states for two peoples, with East Jerusalem divided from West Jerusalem, and Israel isn't going to have a say in it. Rather than having any benefit for Israel, this statement from the Russian Foreign Ministry confirms that we are moving along in the prophetic timeline to the point at which Jerusalem is divided. And we're going to talk about that when we come back, especially in relation to this year, 2017, being the year that the world focuses on Jerusalem.
This is Watch Jerusalem on KPCG.fm. Thank you for listening.
Jerusalem. The name means city of peace, and yet no city has had a history filled with more war and bloodshed. No city has suffered like Jerusalem. It has been the focal point of religious wars throughout the centuries. Jerusalem plays a central role in the beliefs of three major religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. To the Arabs and Jews, Jerusalem is a national symbol. While both sides have attempted to form peace treaties, Jerusalem continually remains the center of dispute. Why all this conflict surrounding Jerusalem? Will the Israeli-Palestinian peace process put an end to the chaos? Will there ever be peace in Jerusalem? The Holy Bible provides the answers concerning the future of this great city. Your Bible states that the tensions revolving around Jerusalem are only going to worsen before they get better. This city will be engaged in some of the worst violence ever to occur in the history of man. But there is great hope for Jerusalem. At the conclusion of these painful events, Jerusalem will experience glory and magnificence as no city ever has, and there will finally be peace in Jerusalem. To understand the important role Jerusalem will play in future events, visit our literature library on thetrumpet.com and request our free booklet, Jerusalem in Prophecy.
This is Watch Jerusalem on KPCG.fm.
Welcome back to Watch Jerusalem. I'm your host, Brent Nachtigall, and again, we're coming to you from the United Kingdom. I'll be here for 2 weeks and then be back into Jerusalem to deliver these programs from there. We're talking about the Russian Foreign Ministry's decision to recognize West Jerusalem as the sovereign capital of the Israeli state, making it the first nation on the planet to say that Jerusalem is thus. Any part of Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Now, what we were discussing right at the end there is that how Jerusalem, a united Jerusalem's days are numbered, and that this does follow on from the decision back on December 23, when the United States broke with its traditional role as Israel's protector at the UNSC and did not veto that resolution that called all Israeli communities in the West Bank, including East Jerusalem, as invalid. The Russians are simply moving and acting on that that worldwide belief that East Jerusalem belongs to the Palestinians. Now, I want to just notice 3 points of this resolution. Because it isn't necessarily about the West Bank. It's not about settlements, although it was talked about as a bill on settlements or a resolution about settlements. This resolution, largely unreported by the press, is all about Jerusalem, the sovereignty of Jerusalem, not just the territory of the West Bank. Notice again these first 3 points of that resolution. It says that the UNSC reaffirms that the establishment by Israel of settlements in the Palestinian territory occupied since 1967, including East Jerusalem, has no legal validity and constitutes a flagrant violation under international law and a major obstacle to the achievement of two states, the two-state solution, and a just and lasting comprehensive peace. Point two. The UNSC reiterates its demand that Israel immediately and completely cease all settlement activities in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, is what they write. Why single out Jerusalem in the resolution? Why not just mention the West Bank or the more general term territories as in previous resolutions? Why? Because the unity of Jerusalem was the real target of this resolution. And here we have Russia 3 months later, or 4 months later, who thinks that it stands up for international law and international consensus, now is moving on that resolution to say that East Jerusalem, that's the capital of the Palestinians. West Jerusalem, I'm sorry, Israel, that is your capital. That is your capital. What we need to realize is it is Jerusalem itself that is now on the chopping block. And we saw that the UNSC, and now we're seeing it with this statement from the Russian Foreign Ministry. Now, back in December of last year, we wrote an article at Watch Jerusalem, and it was entitled 2017, All Eyes on Jerusalem. Because we said that this statement at the UN was going to reverberate into 2017, which was again, which is now, the 50th anniversary of the uniting of Jerusalem. And we asked, would a united Jerusalem make it to 51? Now, I live in Jerusalem, and it seems not necessarily absurd, but a little bit out there to suggest that Jerusalem is going to be divided. And you talk to people on the street in Israel and Jerusalem, and they would believe the same thing, that Jerusalem is an issue that would be very difficult to come to agreement on. And what your Bible says is that there will be disagreements over Jerusalem. While world public opinion is going to favor a divided Jerusalem, the government inside Israel, and with the support of most of the people, most Israelis, are not going to support a division of Jerusalem between East and West. And yet, the international community will, and the Palestinians and the international community are going to force it. They're going to enforce it. And this decision by Russia, again, is a move in that direction. Now, how do we know that? How can I say that? Well, it really does. The division of Jerusalem plays into an extremely important prophecy. That's what we've been talking about today. That's what this Russian decision's about. It's about the halving of Jerusalem. And it says, this prophecy found in the book of Zechariah, it says that world events actually revolve around this one decision. This one decision to halve Jerusalem, to divide Jerusalem. And after that happens, it sets off a number of dominoes of prophetic events. So really, the halving of Jerusalem is a prophetic sign that we can watch for that tells us where exactly we are in Bible prophecy. And again, let's look at this decision for what it is. This isn't a positive development. Israel might think that Russia is an ally and in some ways, but Russia is not Israel's friend. We can remember back to the Cold War days when Russia, in many instances, supported the Arab states in their quest to annihilate the Jewish state. And now we have a dictator leading Russia that believes that the dissolution of the Soviet Empire was the greatest geopolitical disaster of the 20th century. He wants those times back. He wants those times back when the Soviet Union was in support of the Arab states. Against Israel. Sure, we might have some discussion between Israel and Russia right now over Syria. Because why is this? Because Russia respects Israel's power and respects Israel's ability and will to use that power still. It's one of the few modern Israelite nations that has the will to use that power. But make no mistake, Russia, especially Putin, he's not Israel's friend. He's not Israel's friend by this. So that begs the question, why did they announce it right now? This, again, wasn't an oversight by the Russians. They knew what they were doing. The Jerusalem Post article that I mentioned before has a couple of ideas about why the Russians decided to mention West Jerusalem being the capital of Israel. And again, I'm going to leave this article for you to read as well. This will be in the show notes, just simply below the link. If you're listening to this online, it'll be below the post, and you can click on it and read it yourself. The Jerusalem Post says this, one of the perhaps the reasons of why Russia timed it this way. It says, one diplomatic official said that the timing may be connected to Russia in the wake of the chemical attacks in Syria, wanting to deflect criticism on being the chief enabler of President Bashar Assad. So it's saying that, well, it seems as though the Russians definitely didn't order this attack that the Syrians did, that Assad did, this chemical attack. They might not even have been aware of it, but it happened. And since Assad is their ally, then they're trying to deflect criticism of that act and show that, well, they're willing to cozy up to the West a little bit. They're even willing to come before Trump and say part of Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Maybe that's the case. And then it said this other possible reason, the Jerusalem Post article. Likewise, the official said, it is probable that the statement is Moscow's answer to the apparent rejuvenating U.S. efforts to revive the Israeli-Palestinian diplomatic process and a signal that Russia is a relevant party that wants to play an active role in the process. And again, that is a possibility. It sees the United States coming back to the Middle East, perhaps under Mr. Trump, and it's worried that in this arena, it's going to waste the gains, or that the United States' entrance again is going to reduce the gains that Moscow has made in the past 3 years inside the Middle East. And Russia says, well, we want to be part of those peace negotiations. So that could be the case also. But really, at the bottom of this, we must remember that Russia is not interested in Israel's future. They're not interested in Israel's future. But in the background of this, again, we just, these events, we really need to stay watching the developments in Jerusalem. We need to continually watch East Jerusalem being decided by the international community as being the capital of the Palestinian state already. Now, I want you to read a book that goes into great detail about these prophecies, about Jerusalem, about the halving of Jerusalem. It really deserves your study. And it's the book Jerusalem in Prophecy. It's written by Gerald Flory. It was written a few years ago, and it's been updated. And yet, a lot of the forecasts, we want to keep a lot of the original writing in there, because the forecasts have already come true, have already taken place in many instances. But it does talk about this specific prophecy in the book of Zechariah that is about half of Jerusalem falling. And that's what this Russian foreign ministry statement is about. Now, it would be easy, again, to disregard this statement, as many have already forgotten about the UN National Security Council resolution, as any more than talk. Well, as we see from this statement, and as we see from the Jerusalem Post article, the Russians are going to start working towards this goal. Now, under the leadership, again, of Mr. Netanyahu, it's likely that Israel would refuse to concede East Jerusalem, and especially the Old City, to the Palestinians. Mr. Netanyahu has said as much. He's not going to be the prime minister that resides over giving East Jerusalem to the Palestinians, although Mr. Olmert had given it away, though Mr. Barak had given it away, previous prime ministers of Israel. Mr. Netanyahu has said as much that he's not going to do it. But this very fact plays into biblical prophecy as well, that we have a strong leader in Israel that doesn't want to negotiate away East Jerusalem, the part of Jerusalem, the ancient part of Jerusalem. East Jerusalem, again, that's where the city of David is. That's where the most ancient parts of Jerusalem are. If David, King David, really set Israel as the capital of a united Israelite state in 3000 BC, then where he did that, that's currently in East Jerusalem, by at least the demarcation lines, or the 1949 ceasefire lines. That would be in East Jerusalem. And I don't believe Mr. Netanyahu would be willing to give up that. Well, it is possible, though, that the Palestinians themselves, they want that land, and that the Palestinians themselves, they might work to take that land. And where would that put the international community if Israel decided to try and stop them? Well, then Israel would be fighting against a UN Security Council resolution. It would be fighting against what Russia wants. It would be fighting against what the Europeans want. And really, this is exactly what it looks like will eventually happen. Now, we've forecast for quite a long time at Watch Jerusalem and our parent magazine, The Trumpet, thetrumpet.com. And we've forecast, according to our editor-in-chief, Gerald Flurry, he said for years that half of Jerusalem, it's going to fall into Palestinian hands, as we've been covering, as that prophecy says in Zechariah. But he also said that it's going to come with a fight. It's going to come with a right wing, if you want to call it that, government in Israel that won't give it up, that won't give up East Jerusalem, that won't give up the Temple Mount. And yet, you can see a situation right now where the Palestinians must be rejoicing at this Russian statement. They're going to be rejoicing at this statement. Why? Because the Russians have just divided Jerusalem, just as the UN Security Council did. And now it's giving the Palestinians motivation to make a run for it themselves. Now, this doesn't increase the chances of peace between Israelis and the Palestinians. Instead, it completely undermines Israel's negotiating position. It actually encourages the Palestinians to fight for the land. To fight for the land. And that, again, brings into play this pivotal prophecy in the book of Zechariah. Truly, in 2017, all eyes are going to be on Jerusalem, especially as the celebrations come up about the 50th anniversary of the United Jerusalem. Don't take your eyes off Jerusalem. Stay with Watch Jerusalem, and you'll be able to understand where we are prophetically on that prophetic timeline leading to the coming of the Messiah. That's about all we have time for today. Thanks very much for listening. I'm Brent Nuchtigal, your host. If you want to receive some of that literature we talked about, Jerusalem and Prophecy by Gerald Flurry, please just follow the links or go to watchjerusalem.co.il yourself. Read some of the articles, see if you like it. We do post a lot about archaeology there as well, because that history is so important to know and understand in many ways. This history that we see archaeology digging up is repeating itself in the history of the Jews. So we write a lot about archaeology there. We have an article right now written by Christopher Reams up there on the history of the Assyrian people, very important people, both anciently in dealing with Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, and then also in today's prophetic timeline, the Assyrians are back. They're still on the scene, and they might not go by the name Assyria today, but there are prophecies in your Bible that your Bible says are for the end times, that are for the latter days, and they include this nation of Assyria as well. And this book, Jerusalem Prophecy, again, goes into detail about those prophecies. If you'd like to send us some feedback, you can do that by sending your emails to letters@watchjerusalem.co.il. That'll get to me, and I'll see if I'm going to try and make a concerted effort to replying to those as soon as I can. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.